Everybody, get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group, just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rick Sagisi knows baseball is more than just the physical training. It takes guts, heart, and drive. Rick Sagisi offers professional baseball and softball mentoring for players of all ages. Rick was a star player in high school and went on to play for the University of Miami. Played in the College World Series. He's played with Aubrey Huff of the Orioles and Pat Burrell of the Tampa Bay Rays. And has been coached by some of the biggest names in professional baseball. Rick is currently a scout for the Cleveland Indians and a recruiter for the University of Miami. In 30 or 60-minute sessions, you get private one-on-one coaching, guaranteed to improve your game. Rick Sagisi is more than just a coach. He is a mentor, helping kids stay on track on the field and in school. Call to find out more, 777-4435. And for a limited time, Rick is offering a special discount to Fox Sports Radio listeners. So call now, 777-4435, or visit thinkoutsidethediamond.com. Rick Sagisi, professional baseball mentoring.
Welcome, everybody, to a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday morning. I hope everyone's having a great morning, and we're going to have a special guest on today. His name is going to be Justin Black. Justin was a draft pick by the Atlanta Braves back in 2012. He's a fourth rounder out of Montana. Great, great young man. He went to minor league baseball and realized amazingly how minor league baseball is not everything people know it is, because you don't really see too much of it. You don't see behind the scenes. You see these guys in the big leagues, but you don't see what they have to go through to get there. So we're going to have him on the show, and he's going to talk a little bit about what he went through, how his, you know, challenges and tribulations were during his time at the minor league, and some of the things, maybe some insights, so you guys that are coming up and you know, going to be maybe playing minor league baseball one day, we'll get an idea. It's always good to know what you're getting into before you get into it. So I thought this would be a great opportunity for you guys to learn and hear right from the horse's mouth basically what minor league baseball is about. Because, you know, you hear it, you read it, and all that stuff, but you really don't know it. So we're going to actually hear it right from Justin. And he's still actually going to be trying out here. We have him getting ready for a tryout soon. So hopefully he'll be getting picked up and getting a major league team signing him again and going into the minor league baseball. But like I told you, he was there. He's played with Addison Russell. He's played with a lot of different players. So he's going to be really good, real good guy to bounce some ideas off of. So without any further ado, let's get Justin in here. Hey, Justin.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good, man, how are you?
Good, good, good. I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Yeah, absolutely, not a problem.
We introduced you a little bit and told everybody, you know, kind of what to expect. And, you know, what we wanted to talk about was basically the life of a minor league baseball player, you know, some of the things that you kind of learned, you know, coming out of high school. Everyone doesn't really see behind the scenes and see what it's all about. They just see these guys, you know, some of them get into the show, and some of them, you know, maybe not, you know, and but they don't realize that the life of a minor league baseball player isn't as glorified as many people think. So I wanted to get this opportunity for you to kind of share what you kind of learned coming out of high school and hopefully going back to minor league baseball soon, you know, what you learned and some of the things that you can share with the with anybody up and coming that might be heading that way.
Yeah, I mean, coming out of high school, I was, you know, just like every other 18-year-old kid, thought I was king of the world. I got some money. When I got to Orlando and actually – started playing and stuff, you know, it was kind of a huge reality check just because of how much of a grind it was and how tough it really was. Waking up every single day. I mean, my first year we had Sundays off, but, I mean, we woke up every day at like 6 because in the GCL we had to play games at like noon because it rained every day at like 3. So we would have to play midday and it was hot and was trying to stay hydrated and all that other kind of stuff. You know, it took a toll on my body. I learned some, you know, valuable lessons, just one, how to take care of my body and eat right and all that kind of jazz. But like baseball stuff, I've learned from guys like Lee Ilya, who was a hitting coach for the Mariners when Griffey, A-Rod, Edgar Martinez were there. He's actually my godfather. I've learned from guys like Don Long, who's now the hitting coach for the Reds in the big leagues. Dave Tremblay was a guy, he was our field coordinator. My first 2 years and left and came back my last year, that I kind of really, you know, looked up to and respected just because of his type of personality that he had. But I mean, yeah, I had to learn a lot. I had to grow up fast, you know, learn how to do my taxes at 18. That was kind of weird, but,
wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, it's a reality check. You know, people just think it's, you know, it's they know it's not easy, but I don't think they really realize how hard it really is. I mean, you get all these kids that now are, you know, the best of the best, supposedly, and on one team. And like you said, it's a grind. And taking care of your body, I think you said it right there, is in no matter what sport you play or what, you know, level you play at, I think that's going to be a big thing that you have to do, because that's your investment, you know, your body, and
yeah,
you need to
absolutely.
Make sure you take care of that. And yeah, so what did they feed you? What was some of the, like, the new, like, I know, like, you get very little you know, weekly payments there, but what is like a typical day meal? Do they feed you, or are you on your own, or how does that work?
So spring training extended, and my first year in the GCL, which is the Gulf Coast League in Florida, we stayed at a Marriott hotel. So that was kind of nice. You know, our housing and all that was paid for, and we got free breakfast every morning. And it was like cooked to order breakfast. So that was really nice, you know, not really having to worry about breakfast and whatnot. So we'll go to the field, do our early work. Then we'll have team meeting, you know, go through our, like, game plan for the day, because usually we had, like, a full practice before the game even started. And then after that, after BP, we would go in and get lunch. It kind of depended on the day. Like, every day was different. And sometimes, like, if big leaguers were rehabbing with us, they would buy us our spread. So, like, sometimes, like, Brian McCann bought us all Outback one day, which was really cool, you know? Like, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the most part, we got, like, you know, good meals and all that, because our strength coaches were big on nutrition and understanding, like, you know, you got to feel your body the right way in order to, you know, last the whole season. Dinner, for the most part, was on our own. A bunch of guys, we would all go out and eat around the area. I mean, so other than breakfast and lunch, like, we ate out every single night, which kind of gets old after a while. So we weren't able to cook in the hotels because they had, like, a no cooking policy. But then I befriended some Latin players, and they would go down in the pool area, because I guess you could cook down there. And I would take them to Walmart and let them buy their food, because they needed a ride to Walmart and whatnot. And in turn, they would, like, cook for me. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's real neat. And, I mean, were you able to have your car there?
Yeah. My first year I didn't. that was because I hadn't got my whole entire bonus check yet, so I kind of wanted to wait for that to buy my vehicle. And so the next year, I drove it down with my mom, which was like, because I was living in Montana at the time, so that was like a 3-day drive. So I had my car down there, which was really nice because it was kind of tough, you know, trying to bum rides from your buddies all the time to the field and to go out and eat and all that kind of stuff. And if you need to go to like Walmart or something to buy like shampoo, you know, you would have to try and get a ride from somebody. So I figured having my car down there was, you know, kind of a necessity. So I ended up having my truck down with me after that. And it helped because I could do it. Whatever I wanted. And like on Sundays when we had off days, like I would try and do some yoga or something, just to kind of like an active recovery type of deal. So I was able to have like a little bit more freedom.
That's great. That's great. So Orlando, did you guys play at the Y World of Sports? Is that kind of where their spring training was?
Yeah. That's where their spring training was. I think they're moving. I think this year's their last year, but the Wide World of Sports, and then we would go. So in the GCL, we played the Yankees, we played the Blue Jays, and we played the Tigers and the Pirates. So those guys, all those teams were like kind of in our division.
Okay.
And then for Instructional League and spring training and extended, they switched it the next year because they were tired of us driving a couple hours to go play the Yankees and whatnot. So we ended up playing the Astros because they were right down the road. The Tigers were only like 45 minutes away, and the Nationals, which was about 45 minutes away. So our travel, you know, being on the bus was cut down, which was nice because once we got moved up to like extended rookie, which is in the Appy League, you know, we would have like 12-hour bus trips, 13-hour bus trips, you know, and then sleep on the bus and go to the field the next day and try to perform and all that, you know. So that's where like kind of keeping your body, you know, maintained, because sometimes you're sleeping on a bus, you know, kind of really was a big key factor.
That's unbelievable. And then did you play with anybody that, you know, I know you play with a lot of professional guys and guys that are playing professionally now. What are some, just to share with the audience, who's some of the players that you've during your minor league playing time played with that are actually is in the pros right now?
So with Atlanta, Johan Camargo just made his big league debut. He was my shortstop. He was a shortstop on my team my second year. Ozzino Albies, he's in AAA right now, but he's got a little bit of big league time. Shea Simmons, he was my draft class. Alex Wood, he was a second rounder, my draft class, and he was actually my locker mate my first year in Orlando. So that was kind of cool because he's really starting to revive his career with the Dodgers, so I'm pretty happy for him. Who else? There's some other guys. With Atlanta,
you
Matt
Martinsberry.
Yeah. I keep in contact with a lot of them. Like, actually, I just talked to my buddy on Twitter. His name is Aaron Northcraft. He's with the Padres. He's a big leaguer. He's a pitcher. You know, it's good to keep all those contacts too, you know, cause we're not just like teammates or whatever, like going through all this, like you become brothers, and it's hard at the end of the year, you know, say goodbye to some of your brothers, but you know, that's just kind of how it is. But I've met some of my best friends just through, you know, playing.
Yeah. Big time. It is. I always tell people it's not just the experiences and, you know, and all the other stuff that we're talking about. But it's the friendships that you make that last, you know, and then obviously memories too, but it's true. It really is. And sometimes you meet some of your best friends, you know, that way. And some of them, a lot of them will fade away, but a lot of, you know, two or three you're going to really keep in touch with. And it's always good conversation stories when you get back together.
Yeah.
You know, either way, if these, you guys make it or you don't make it, I think it's just a good experience, and it's something that you'll always remember. And it teaches you, you know, responsibility, teaches you, you know, commitment, and teaches you a lot of different things, work ethic, that I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, when you go into minor league baseball, it's, a lot of people don't think look into minor league baseball. They see the games, but they don't see the lifestyle that you guys have to live, which is drastically different than what they see on TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
I mean,
how is the media? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like when people see, or you tell people, oh, I play professional baseball, you know, they always go like, oh, you know, are you in the big leagues? And, you know, obviously, I've never played in the big leagues. And so from there, they're like, oh, are you in double and triple A? And it's like, they don't even know that there's other levels besides like double and triple A. Like there's, for instance, the Braves had two rookie league teams, low A, high A, double A, triple A. And, you know, some guys, it takes them a year in each league to make it, sometimes too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
Some of the guys that I've seen and that I played with that have gotten called up, like it all happened really, really fast for them. Like they just had one good half, first half of the season, and then their career just skyrocketed. But getting back, what was your question you asked me again? Sorry.
So I was going to ask, you know, how is the media down like with minor league baseball? I mean, is it, you know, the games aren't televised, but is it very difficult, you know, when it comes to media? Is that like, you know, in the big leagues, obviously that's always a big issue, but talking to the local media, newspapers, news, is there a lot of coverage of that? Do you guys get a lot of like, you know, ink in the paper and stuff, or is it kind of just another pick, you know, baseball game, like another just local league game that's being played?
I mean, a lot of the small, like the teams in the minor leagues are in real small towns. So like when the teams are there, like they're like the talk of the town, you know, like everybody knows who all the guys are that play, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. I've done like interviews, you know, for just local news, for local news in the area. That was really the only media that I ever kind of witnessed. I mean, social media now with how it is today, you know, people are always talking about like the next young prospect and whatnot. So, you know, if you had a good game, you know, sometimes it would be posted on like Twitter, Instagram or whatever. Which that happened to me a couple times. I had a game where I was like 5-for-5 against the Royals. And it was all over, like, Twitter, and, you know, people were starting to write about me, saying I was figuring it out and, you know, that I could be really something special, which, you know, obviously, you know, felt good for me. I mean, for the most part, it's kind of like the whole Bull Durham movie, how he just, you know, how the main character, you know, talks to the pitcher, that he calls him Nuke. He's just like kind of, you know, scripts everything that he wants to say to him, so he doesn't make a fool out of himself and in the media, you know, because how the public views you is very, very important.
Yeah.
So yeah, I tried to like stick to that script of just, you know, I'm trying to help my team win and trying to, you know, go out there and play hard.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, that's good. And then after the end of the year, how do they leave off with you guys? Are you guys kind of given your assignment like what, like in the fall, like you know, later in the winter, or is it they usually meet with you in an exit meeting? How does that usually work?
So my first 2 years, there's this it's called instructional league. It's like at the a month after the season, some of the guys that are in instructional league are getting ready to go to the fall league, the Arizona Fall League. But what that's, when instructional league is mostly for is like the young prospects, you know, just to give them more of a developmental sort of game plan, you know, because they're obviously young, they're still, you know, growing, maturing. And so at the end of instructional league, they'll kind of give you a game plan of what you know need to work on in the off season. You know, they'll give you workouts that you should follow. Sometimes our player development will, you know, check in with us and, you know, make sure everything's going all right in the off season. But for the most part, at the end of the season, it's just, you know, we'll be in touch with you. And we had a great year. We did some good things and kind of leave it at that.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. So, all right. So that's, so they just kind of let you, and then how do they, how do you know your assignment for the next season? Do they tell you that like later in the winter?
I mean, usually they would contact your agent about that, but because I never had an agent, I didn't really ever know. So I, for me, it was like kind of going into spring training. Like I was, you know, trying to win a job, you know, at a higher level than I was the previous year. You know, and because if you play well and like show you're capable of competing at that league, you know, there's no sense in you staying down another year and whatnot. So that's kind of how I went into spring training. Because like I said before, it can all happen really fast. Like one minute you, for instance, in my situation, one minute I could be sitting here on my couch, you know, talking to you. But in 6 months or even next season, you know, I could very easily be playing in the big leagues if it all clicks and the
exactly.
right person believes in me. So with baseball, it's just kind of almost like a crapshoot, you know?
Yeah, big time. Well, that was some great information. I think you're going to give some people some insight. You know, Dave definitely gave me some insight. You know, you hear things, and I hear a lot of things. And I knew a lot, but I didn't know as much as you kind of shared with us today, some of the things that people just take for granted, and they don't realize, you know, unless you live in a minor league baseball team's town and you follow these guys religiously, you really don't know as a fan, you know, you just don't know they go to the big leagues, you know they're in minor league baseball, see them on the field, but behind the scenes, they don't know the living conditions and the challenges you guys face every day, and never mind the pressures and all that other stuff that comes along with it. But we appreciate you sharing that information. Like I said, I always say that's priceless information for people. So we appreciate you coming on the show and giving us that insight of minor league baseball and life of a minor leaguer. And we hope we get you back in there not too long the second time in there, but we hope to see you back in there soon.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I got one more thing to say, though. So, like, if guys are listening to this, you know, could possibly be drafted and whatnot, you know, at the end of the day, it's your career. Some, you know, coaches and whatnot, you know, with the organization you're with, you know, they're trying to do what's best for you, but at the end of the day, it's your career, and you have to take control of your career, you know, because your coach isn't going to go out there and swing the bat for you, and your coach isn't going to go out there and throw the ball for you and run for you and all that. So, you know, if you're a high-round draft pick or you got drafted or you signed as a free agent, you know, whatever you did to get you to that point for that team to like you, you know, build off of that. Don't just go into the organization and just change everything, because that's kind of what happened to me. So with that being said, you know, just stay true to yourself and go out there and hustle and play the game the right way and try to get better and learn and weed out good information from bad information. And, you know, that's why guys ultimately make it. So, yeah, thank you
that's unbelievable.
For having me on.
Oh, no, thank you, Justin. That was great. I'm glad you actually added that last piece, because I think that was really good. And it's always nice to hear it, you know, from a guy that's been through it. So, no, thank you so much. And, you know, we wish you all the luck and keep working hard. And we know good things are ahead for you.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. All right.
See you, buddy. Well, there you have it, guys. Pretty impressive. I think you guys got some really good information. I know I learned a lot still, and that's right from the horse's mouth, the life in the minor league baseball. Again, everyone has to go through it. So some of you up-and-coming players, some of you guys that are in the training lab right now that are listening to this, that's pretty priceless information because you can get an idea of what to expect. And, again, every organization is different. But for the most part, it's very similar. So hope you guys can grab some stuff out of this. And until next time, I'll be seeing you in the lab.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.